We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love and your truth. We thank you for the price of Jesus, for the seal of the Spirit, for the anointing that breaks the yokes. We thank you for everything you've done, what you're doing, and what you're getting ready to do. We thank you for our family and the body of Christ, for answered prayer, for rescuing and revival. We thank you. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for new life. Life. We thank you. And we ask for your forgiveness of every word, thought, and deed, every works of the flesh, anything we've touched, of uncleanliness of thoughts, words, and deeds, and anything we've came in agreement that would offend you. Please, Master, wash us with the blood and remove those things. Bring your light and your truth into every area of our life. Fill us with your Spirit that we may be one. Bring us to a place of rest and refreshing. Oh, Lord, we need you. But most of all, we desire you. Bring us, Lord, and position us where it's no longer we that live, but you that live. And grant us access tonight. Yes. Change us. Bring a garment change tonight, Master. Bring your glory. Restore to us our first love. Yes. And grant us the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and thirst and hunger for you, that we may be about your business. And true spirit and in power. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug and tell them this is your night. How's everybody tonight? Amen. Would you turn to Psalm 133, please? Oh, God is good. Psalm 133. Sweet presence. Psalm 133. Behold how good it and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. For it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Now this is very powerful, and I want to share something with the Spirit was sharing with me. You know, we got to understand again on that we are in the wilderness. The whole world is in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, two events are going to happen. The rapture and the wrath. And there were things that were established in the wilderness. And one of the things that was established in the wilderness was God establishing priesthood. And in this, he said that he would raise up a nation or a kingdom of priests. And Aaron was one of the priests, wasn't he? And in this he said that how good it is and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And what I want to share with you during this time that we're in right now, you know, the body of Christ is divided. There's much division in the body of Christ. And I really believe that some of this is caused because of the not fulfilling of priesthood. And in this, the Lord said that it's good for us to dwell in unity. And in this unity, now he's using Aaron as an example here, isn't he? And he's using Aaron in the garments, and he's using the oil as a representation of the anointing that's coming down. And in this, I really believe that in this wilderness, that's why where we're at right now, we know times and troubles are not only here, but they're going to get worse. Does everybody understand that? Now, I want you to understand that being a believer doesn't excuse you from things of trouble. Hello. The Bible says that the path is narrow and difficult. So it doesn't mean you won't go through stuff. But I'll tell you, you'll go through it. And it's used to perfect us. You know, when you take coal and squeeze it, it turns into a diamond. When you take gold and put it under fire, it turns transparent. So I want you to understand in this desert process that we are in, we know that God is bringing us to the end of ourself, but he's also trying to bring unity in the body. And sometimes unity in the body doesn't come unless there's disasters. Trials and tribulations and all kinds of stuff happening. Did you ever notice how everybody came together in New York at 9/11? The problem is it didn't last long enough. Then people began to get divided again. I mean, the country is unified, even in government. It didn't matter if they were Democrat, Republican, or whatever. It had nothing to do with what their party was. It was about people and people caring for people and loving one another. It had nothing to do with anything else, but now it's gone back. And God has put the whole world in the wilderness, and we have been in the beginning of birth pangs, and we are getting ready to enter tribulation. And that doesn't mean that the body of Christ will be removed from tribulation. I doubt it. I believe they'll be removed for great tribulation, but I believe that we'll go through the first 3.5 years of tribulation. Because during that period of time, there's going to be tremendous unity. And this unity is going to bring something. It's going to bring rest and refreshing. Now remember, we talked about in the area of we are basically a timeless generation. And in this timeless generation, it causes us, because we come to a rest, and in this rest there's timelessness. In other words, you don't care. You allow God to build. You stop building. So there's things we are in right now, and I'm sharing this with you by the Spirit, that there are disasters coming. There are things that are going to come, but you're going to go through them. Has everybody got it? It's the same thing in the wilderness. One of the things that's happening right now is that God is reestablishing his priesthood. His what? Priesthood. And it is important that the priesthood be established in the body of Christ, because it's going to be established with unity, rest, and then the refreshing. Is everybody okay? Now, if you think about it, when they were in the wilderness, Moses, the people were totally dependent on God, weren't they? For food, for clothing, for everything. They were totally, remember, they left with all the gold and all the silver and everything else, and there was nowhere to spend it. They couldn't spend it anywhere. They had to be totally dependent on the Lord. And when they got thirsty, they began to grumble and complain. Anything they wanted, they grumbled and complained. Now, God gave it to them. But he also said, because of your grumbling and complaining, your heart is hardened. And you can't enter my rest because of rebellious heart. So I want you to understand that right now, if you're an individual that's still groaning and complaining, you will not enter that rest. And in this, the Lord brought them through the wilderness and brought them into an area where Moses was told to strike the rock. They came to a place of rest. Moses struck the rock, and they got refreshed. Does everybody get it? Now, what happened is, as they continued on again, Moses got caught up in the flesh, and the Lord told him to speak to the rock, but he was so angry that he struck the rock. Now, water still came out of the rock because God still provides. See, so many people are looking at what God provides. Well, if he's providing for me, I must be doing good. No, the Bible says he blesses the good and the evil. Amen. He pours the rain on the good and the evil. So you cannot go by that. And I'm sharing this with you because it's important. It's about maintaining your priestly garments. See, the refreshing will not come until priesthood is established. So the Lord told Moses, he said, listen, man, because you disobeyed me, in other words, you defiled me in front of all of my people. Everybody knew you were supposed to speak to that rock, and you disobeyed me. You did not hallow me. Now Moses, God spoke to face. So for much is given, much is required. So many people want to be promoted, but they're not willing to take the responsibility. Because let me tell you something else. Judgment is worse if you blow it. Today I was ministering in the jail. And the Lord told me to bring the oil this morning. So I went to the jail and had the oil in my pocket. And he said, I want you to speak on this, on the priesthood and the anointing. And he shared, and all of these, I mean, we had a full, basically a pretty full house. And he said, as we went through some of the teaching of priesthood and so forth, and he said, anybody in this room that wants to fulfill their priesthood, stand up. And I'll go around and anoint you, and we'll sing a song. And the anointing will be with you. Now, if you're an individual that's just going to stand up and get anointed and not do what you're supposed to do, the anointing will be against you. Only 10 guys stood up in the whole place. And all those religious preachers that were in there did not stand up. All those Bible thumpers that can quote scripture and tell everybody else how they need to walk did not stand up. And it really blew my mind. Because see, the Lord tested them right there. And I'm telling you, it is important, because in this right now, God, the Bible says the Father searches for those who will worship Him in truth and in spirit. Why? Because He's looking for those who fulfill their priesthood. So a refreshing could come. Is everybody got it? Is everybody okay? Go to Revelation 1. I'm not going to do a teaching on priesthood, but I'm going to share a couple things so we can get an impartation. In Revelation 1 and 5 and 6. And what does it say? And from Jesus Christ, a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father, and to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we see here that He has made us kings and priests, but I want you to understand that kings and priests, each one carries a specific garment. Because a priest carries a priestly garment and a king carries a warrior garment. It's called the full armor of God. And that's why we must fulfill priesthood and maintain fulfilling priesthood. And I'm going to share this with you. It is important because this is why people get divorced. Marriages break. And big ministries and everything else. Because your garments that are underneath your armor are called priestly garments. And unless they are maintained and upkept, the armor begins to irritate. Has everybody got it? Did you ever put metal on bare flesh? There's nothing in between. And this is where individuals have been serving the Lord for a while. They begin to slip and lose the arena of ministering to the Lord. And their focus is now is just ministering to people. And they get divorced. Things break up. Ministries fold. Why? Because they've not maintained their priesthood or never even started it. And this is what we were talking about with Aaron. When the Lord showed Aaron in Psalm 133. And God is restoring the first office that we are to uphold and fulfill is priesthood and maintain it all the way to the end. And Exodus, I think it's 28. God willing. Yes. Thank you, Lord. And verse 39. It says, "You shall skillfully weave the tunic of fine linen thread. You shall make the turban of fine linen, and you shall make the sash of woven work. For Aaron's sons you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them. for glory and beauty. So you shall put them on Aaron your brother and on his sons with him, and you shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as what? As priests. And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thighs. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and to his descendants after him. I want you to understand is that is still in effect. It has not been removed. And these are called the garments. And you and I are to maintain these garments. And these garments are priestly garments. And they are maintained as you minister to the Lord. Those garments are put on. And it's called the garment of praise. It's called the garment of righteousness. Go to Zechariah chapter 3. Today, these are spiritual garments, and they are worn under the full armor of God. Zechariah chapter 3. Remember, we are a holy kingdom, a kingdom of priests. And it's amazing in how many believers are not fulfilling this place. And God is going to allow stuff to happen so that this can be reestablished. Because it was one of the first things that was established in the wilderness was priesthood. Zechariah, is everybody there? Chapter 3. We'll start at verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. He was a what? High priest. And Satan standing at his right hand to what? Oppose him. I want you to understand that Satan tries to oppose you from fulfilling your priesthood. Does everybody got it? He tries to prevent you from worshiping the Lord with all of your heart. He tries to prevent you. Why? Because he knows the garments won't be placed on you. Does everybody got it? See, only God dresses you with the garments of priesthood. Hello? Only God dresses you. Now, when we go and we put our full armor on and everything, but I'm telling you, only God dresses you with your priesthood garments. And you are dressed as you worship and minister to him. That's when he dresses you. You are first dressed with the blood to approach him. When you are dressed with the blood, and it is through repentance, you have access him to minister to him, then he dresses you with his garments, the priestly garments. Doesn't it say that when the Lord will return, his robe will be dipped in what? Blood. So in this, you are first dressed with the blood. That's your garment to access him. Then as you minister to him, you are dressed with the garment, priestly garments. And then you get dressed with the full armor. Now that's depending on you and God. I don't dress myself with the armor. He dresses me. Because I ask him to. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Now remember, Satan is always going to oppose you. Why? Because he knows whether you have the garments on. He knows. And if the garments are not there, the anointing isn't either. And he knows whether you're backed by the anointing or you're backed by the flesh. Let's go a little further. In verse 2, and the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not the brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. In other words, it was time for a garment change. Then he answered, and he spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by him. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge over my courts. I will give you places to walk among those who stand here. Hear, O Joshua, high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. Now this is prophetic, because he was talking about Jesus coming. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Now this is so awesome, because this is so prophetic in the area where Joshua is the high priest. We know Jesus is the high priest, isn't he? Now the Bible talks about Jesus having the seven spirits and the seven stars. And here Joshua, he's talking about, and upon this branch there's seven eyes. Now this is the seven attributes of the Holy Spirit. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I'll remove the iniquity of that land in one day. And in that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. Again, I want to repeat to you that Satan opposes you and trying to prevent you from ministering to the Lord to get those garments on you. He'll do everything he can. And here Joshua was getting a garment change. Why? He was coming to a rest and a refreshing. Has everybody got it? Again, it was prophetic of the coming Messiah and the seven attributes of the fullness of the Spirit of God. Go to Revelation 3. Tonight's teaching is called the refreshing, because the refreshing is coming. The refreshing must come in the wilderness. In Revelation chapter 3, in verse 1, and I believe this is where the church is right now, and God is beginning to move her. And it says to the angel of the church of Sardis, write these things, says he who has the seven spirits of God. Do you see the correlation and parallel? And the seven stars, the seven spirits of God represent the seven attributes of the Holy Spirit. The seven stars represent the seven angels that are going to bring out the messages. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and what? Repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Are we close to that now? Amen. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. Now, what garments are these? Priestly. So what is he saying? He's saying, listen, you say you're alive, but you are dead because you are not fulfilling your priesthood. Oh, hallelujah. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And what is God trying to do now? He's trying to reestablish the priesthood everywhere. Everywhere. Why? Because he's saying the church is actually dead, but I'm going to bring a refreshing as soon as they begin to fulfill their priesthood. He's establishing it. The garment of praise removes the spirit of heaviness. Go to Isaiah 11. Show you the seven attributes. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11 and verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a what? Branch shall go forth out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, these are the seven attributes of the Holy Spirit. And this is what he was talking about. Let me tell you something. As you begin to fulfill your priesthood, see, the one of the things is that's why people don't get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because without the baptism in the Holy Ghost, you can't fulfill your priesthood. That's why you need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in this, he says, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and your priesthood is being established, these seven attributes will be upon you. Now, if these seven attributes were established in everybody's life, we wouldn't have so much trouble. We wouldn't have to minister so much to the body of Christ. We'd be ministering more to the lost. But the problem is that God's people are not maintaining their garments. They worship God to get something. That's not ministry to the Lord. They worship God to let people see how they worship God. That's not ministry to the Lord. The Lord knows your heart. Ministry to the Lord is you with a full, pure heart ministering to God, and don't give a hoot who's watching or what's going on. You're not out to impress anybody. You're out to touch your Father. Glory. See, what happens in this is you minister to the Lord. You don't realize, but all of a sudden you're eating and drinking from the tree of life and your garments are getting put on. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. So what's going to happen is going to become unity, rest, and refreshing. Unity, rest, and refreshing. Isaiah 28, verse 5. Would you read it with me? In that day, the Lord of hosts will be what? For a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people, for the spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and for strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. But they also have erred through wine, and through intoxicating drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine, and they're out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision, and they stumble in judgment. For all the tables are full of vomit and filth, and no place is clean. Now, he's talking about individuals who have forsaken their priesthood. They no longer drink of the cup of the Lord. They drink of cup of demons. Let's go a little further. Verse 9. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people. This is tongues. Why? Because as they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, are you listening? They begin to fulfill their priesthood. And if they'll maintain their priesthood, this revelation will come. And to whom he said, this is the what? Rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Yet they would what? Not hear. They refuse it. They'd rather stay religious and minister to themselves. Are you listening? Have a form of worship and never fulfill priesthood. It will start with unity, rest, then the refreshing. Unity, rest, and the refreshing. These priests defiled their garments by drinking the cup of deception. And the same thing with these prophets. They will be prophesying false visions. This refreshing is about to come and hit the body of Christ with latter and former rain of the glory of God. But the church must come into unity, rest, and then a refreshing will come. So everybody got it. Hosea 5. We are getting a prophetic word from the Lord tonight and letting us know he's updating us on what's happening. Hosea chapter 5 and verse 14. Hosea 5 verse 14. Would you read it with me? For I'll be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear them and go away. I will take them away and no one shall rescue. I'll return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face. In their afflictions, they will earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, but he will heal us. He is stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. Now, I want you to understand this again. There will be a time of unity because of distresses, because people will begin to turn back to God. Afflictions are going to cause people to turn back to God. And they will come to a place of rest and then refreshing. In this refreshing, it says, after 2 days, he will revive us. This is refreshing. And on the third day, we will be with the Lord. So understand that there'll become a unity, a rest, the refreshing, then home. And he will reestablish his kingdom of priests. Glory. Go to Acts 3. I was talking to somebody today, and he said, man, brother, you sound homesick. I said, I am. You get tired of humanites. Human nights, you know, darkness. Human nights. What eternal light has fellowship with a human night? Acts 3. Is everybody there in verse 19? It says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So we know that many are going to have to return to the Lord, get those priestly garments on, and the refreshing is going to start coming. See, it's the priesthood that must be reestablished again in the fullness. In the fullness. That's what is going to bring the refreshing. And that he may send Jesus Christ who was preached to you before. In other words, he just told us what's going to happen. The refreshing and then the return. Has everybody got it? Whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, I want you to look at something, because this may seem very strange to you, but there are things that are going to have to happen. And that word rest is very, very important. In fact, it's in many words that we're going to go over a couple. Or a few. Because there's going to be unity, then there's going to be rest, and then the refreshing. So here are some things that he just said. Now I want you to look at verse 21 again. He said, whom heaven must be received until the times of what? What's the word in restoration? Rest. So there must be a restoration. Does everybody got it? Which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. So we know that not only this rest is going to, in this rest there will be a restoration. You're going to find a lot of rest in what's going on here. Go to Genesis 8. Do you know when there's restoration, there's unity? Genesis 8. In verse 4, now we know that Noah was a righteous man, and also Noah was a representation of Christ. In verse 4, would you read it with me? And the ark rested in the seventh month. Hello. The number 7 means what? Complete and perfect. And the 17th day of the month on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And then the 10th month on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days, that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. Now the raven did not return. Why? Because he found no rest. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found what? No resting place for the sole of her feet. And she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her in to the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days, and he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth, representing the anointing. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him any more. Now, again, I want you to see that the ark rested. The raven had no rest. It didn't come back. The dove could not find a resting place and came back. The dove is the anointing of the latter and the former rain, waiting for the unity. Are you listening? And to bring refreshing. The flood is like the wilderness here. It's like being in the wilderness. Noah was like the Christ. He rested 7 days for complete and perfect and sent the dove out. This is where we're at again, aren't we? Except for the wilderness is a representation of dry, but at that period of time, it was a wilderness that was with the flood. But there was a place where they came to rest. Now, I want you also see this. Seven meaning complete and perfect. And we are approaching the 7,000th. Does everybody get it? This is our millennium, isn't it? Hello. It's also a representation, a removal of the church and the return of the church. Is everybody okay? Genesis 20, verse 6. Now Abraham was, him and his wife were going across certain land, and he was approached by an army and so forth, and the king. And he said that, he lied and said that his wife was his sister, because he was concerned that they would kill her or kill him. And verse 6, and so the king was sleeping, and the king didn't touch his wife, even though he thought it was her sister. And God said to him in a dream, he said, "Yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I will also withhold you from sinning against me." Because if he would have slept with her, he would have sinned against God. "Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore," come on, what is that word? Restore. Is there a word in there? Rest. "Restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet. And he will pray for you, and you shall live." Now, this is pretty wild, man. "But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, and all who are yours." So, in this place of rest, there's going to be not only restitution, but there's going to be restoration and restoring things. Has everybody got it? God is restoring, but he's going to restore priesthood, isn't he? Before the refreshing, is everybody okay? Genesis 27:39. Now we know that Esau and Isaac had a problem. There was a fight over a firstborn, inheritance, and so forth. In verse 39. "Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, 'Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth, and to do with the heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." So I want you to understand something here. There's that word rest, but this is restless. That is works of the flesh. If there is restless, that's why the Bible says that the wicked cannot rest until they commit evil. And in this, there's a form, even though you see the word rest, but it's a restless state. Remember, Saul had the tormenting spirit, the distressing spirit. Why? Because God removed the anointing from him, and so he no longer had rest. He had restless. He was very restless, wasn't he? In the eyes of God, Saul became wicked. And that will not bring the refreshing, will it? But these things are coming. In other words, there's going to be a restless state. There'll be no refreshing. There'll be refleshing. People will be refleshing instead of refreshing. They'll be putting out they'll be exchanging their garments for the garments of flesh because they're not getting what they want because God is holding things back until they come to a place of repentance with a pure heart and go to him and worship him with all of his heart until they stop doing their grumbling and complaining and blaming everybody for their stuff and stop and come out of the materialistic world and get into the anointing and the presence of God and begin to truly fulfill their priesthood. You'll either be refreshed or refleshed. Exodus 22. Next time you see somebody, you can tell them, "Man, you refleshed or refreshed, brother. What's up? Did you not come to rest? Did you not worship the Lord with all of your heart? Did you not get your garments of praise on?" I'm telling you, you can tell when somebody ain't right. They are so refleshed, it's disgusting. They're fighting for their lives. It always puts you in survival mode instead of surrender mode. In verse 4, in Exodus 22, "If the theft is certainly found alive in his hand, whether it is an ox or donkey or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man causes a field or vineyard to be grazed and lets loose his animal and it feeds in another man's field, he shall make what? Restitution." You see that word rest in there? Restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. In other words, God is requiring restitution. Restitution in those areas of our life. Exodus 23, why we're there. In verse 10. 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce, but the seventh year you shall let it what? Rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. In like manner you shall do with your vineyard for your olive and your olive grove. 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest. And the son of your female servant and the stranger may be what? Refreshed. And all that I have said to you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods, nor let it be heard from your mouth." In other words, even letting the land rest so it can become refreshed and produce more. So everybody got it? I mean, that's the problem we're having right now. People are abusing the land. They don't even get this. They're constantly using the land, using the land, using the land, and it's not really getting a place of rest for a year, and it's not getting refreshed. It's constantly being misused. So now they got to use Miracle-Gro. But it ain't the miracle for my dad. And then it put chemicals in there to keep the bugs away and all the other. You know, you won't have as many bugs if you let your land rest. People don't get it, though. This country doesn't get it. Exodus 33. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. Yeah. So in this rest, you're allowing the Lord to build a house, aren't you? But you got to first fulfill your priesthood, or you won't enter that rest. You become a busybody, busy doing nothing. Exodus 33 and verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, so that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. And the Lord said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And how are you going to get his presence? By ministering to the Lord through priesthood. Go to Deuteronomy 31. That's why people are anxious. A person that's very anxious, anxiety, stress. Why? Because they're not in rest. Why? Because they haven't fulfilled their priesthood. If they fulfilled their priesthood, they'd have some peace. They'd have rest. The I gotta do syndrome. And I gotta do it now, and I gotta have it now, or I'm gonna kill somebody. Deuteronomy 30, run. Is everybody there? Deuteronomy. Chapter 31 and verse 14. Now you gotta understand something. When the devil's always trying to oppose you, isn't he? He's always trying to oppose you. Now, if you are fulfilling your priesthood, the angel of the Lord encamps around you. And that angel will kill 180,000 people. Hello? Well, as you are fulfilling your priesthood, and those garments are on you, the angel of the Lord stands with you, just like he did with Joshua. And that angel will kill 180,000 people if he needs to. He will protect you. He's your bodiless guard. Does everybody understand that? See, in other words, the Satan is going to try to oppose you. Those demons are going to try to oppose you. But they can't get near you because they see the angel of the Lord there. And the angel of the Lord is carrying the anointing. He's carrying revelation. He's carrying all kinds of things that can be released right to you. But he's looking, he waits. When those garments are not there, that angel backs away. Hello? And then you don't get refreshed, you get refleshed. Where I say to go? Deuteronomy 31 and verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of meeting that I may inaugurate him. So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of meeting. Now the Lord appeared at the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood above the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you will rest with your fathers. And this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land, where they go to be among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. He's talking about a rest of death. Now, I want you to understand that this is prophetic. Because one of the things that this priesthood is going to do by fulfilling your priesthood, you are coming to the end of yourself. Has everybody got it? You come to the end of yourself. Glory. 1 Samuel 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 12. Read it with me. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows. because his sons made themselves vile and did not restrain. Now, what word is in restrain? Oh, man. And therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Now, this is what the Lord told to Samuel. Eli was Samuel's mentor. He was a prophet of God. But Eli had two sons. And Eli knew what wickedness his sons was doing. And because he did not restrain them from doing it, are you listening? Judgment came. And the Ark of the Covenant was stolen. And Eli's sons were killed. And when message came to him, he fell backwards on his seat and broke his neck. All in one day. Hello. Because he did not what? Restrain. In other words, he knew what was evil. It's amazing how many people are still playing the worldliness of knowing somebody's doing evil in the body of Christ and not doing anything about it. And don't realize that the evil that they know is blood on their own hands. Because they're pleasing man and not pleasing God. Now they've defiled their garments. Are you listening? And there's times when God will not speak to you. He will not release something to you. He will turn his back to you. Because you did not restrain. Has everybody got it? Well, I know that this person is doing evil. And it's causing harm to other people. But you know, I'll just pray. Well, the answer to you is do something about it. Hello. It's amazing how many people still want to cover up. That's not resting, is there? In other words, why didn't I restrain that person, expose that person? Why didn't I do this? You know how many people have died and the blood is on their hands because they didn't warn somebody? And it's a part of being a priest, isn't it? We're to warn individuals. And listen, the Bible tells us if you know somebody's doing evil and don't say anything, you'll be judged the way that person is. Is everybody okay? All glory. 1 Peter 1. 1 Pete chapter 1. Unity, rest, refreshing. Unity, rest, refreshing. 1 Pete 1. Welcome to the wilderness. And did you ever notice that more and more praise is beginning to go up to the Lord? You know, but you got to also look at a lot of people that are supposedly praising God for money. There are many individuals who are secular and have not come out from among them and call themselves Christian bands, but they're doing it for money because they know there's a market in the body of Christ. And people promote it. But behind closed doors, these people are practicing wickedness. And because they promote it, they'll be judged the same way. So be careful what you buy. Because that means you'll promote it. And you'll be judged the same way. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Would you read it with me? Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be what? Sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold or music, or, you know, from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Chapter 4, 1 Peter. Chapter 4 and 1 Peter, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is going to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice in the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceedingly joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Yes, I like that. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evil doer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? Revelation 14. Revelation 14. Let's go start at verse 9. Is everybody there? Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, right, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor and their works. Follow them. I'm telling you, there will be a place that you will rest, but your works will still follow. In other words, it'll be carried on. It'll be carried on. And even if you depart and go home, your works will be carried on. Has everybody got it? As long as you're fulfilling the will of God and doing what you're supposed to be doing in the area of maintaining your priesthood, being sanctified, separated, coming out from among them. Let's go to Matthew 11 and we'll close here. Everybody okay? You getting this? Matthew 11. Timeless generation. Yeah. Unity, rest, and refreshing. And I'm telling you, the refreshing is coming. It's coming. I can taste it. Yeah. Hallelujah. And then home. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Would you read it with me, please? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, what follows the rest? Refreshing. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Well, if you got his yoke, you will minister to him. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest from your souls. In other words, you'll find rest from yourself, man. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this is where we stand right now. In the wilderness. An area of God is fulfilling, restoring, reestablishing his priesthood. Changing garments, bringing the area where we have more and more victory. He's getting ready to release more and more of not only of his presence and refreshing, But in the area he is beginning to release the wealth of the wicked to come to the house of God. House of God is to be a house of prayer, a house of worship, house of unity, and house of rest, but also a house of refreshing. Share with you, do whatever you have to do, and sever yourself from that which entangles you in the affairs of this world. Fulfill your priesthood, and you will find favor. And that's what's happening right now. Fulfill your priesthood, and you will find the refreshing. A terrible thing to miss the refreshing, man. You need it in the wilderness. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask, Lord, in every area where we have offended you, to continue to expose it in our lives, that we may see and understand and come to the place of rest so we don't miss the refreshing. Lord, you called us to fulfill priesthood. I pray tonight, Lord, that anyone in this room that is not fulfilling their priesthood with all of their heart, and they are not being refreshed but being refleshed, that you would convict them, that you would expose them, and that you would bring them to the place of total repentance and total submission to you with commitment to honor you, to minister to you, and fulfill their priesthood. Lord, I pray a blessing over each and every one as you continue to give us the strength to say yes to you and the power to say no to the opposer. The angel of the Lord encamp around us, and that we may be pleasing to you in everything we do. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.